Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
There is an old Roman fable that tells a story about truth, and that tells a story about falsehood. A lesson that gives us an expression that we still use today. And the story goes like this. While truth was swimming in a river, falsehood stole his clothes. And he left behind his own clothes. But rather than put on the clothes of falsehood, truth chose instead to go naked. And so we have that well-known expression, the naked truth. And though in that case, being naked teaches us a valuable lesson about truth and about falsehood, in the Bible, many times being naked speaks of sin. You will recall in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God, their eyes were open to the truth, and for the first time, they realized that they were naked, and they were ashamed. And so they took fig leaves and tried to cover themselves. They tried to cover their nakedness. They tried to cover their sin. And Revelation chapter 3, in describing the sin of the church, in the city of Laodicea, the Lord said that though they thought that they were spiritually rich and that they had need of nothing, in reality, he said, they were spiritually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and, yes, naked. And in the passage of scripture that is before us today, in Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29, we have an illustration of a far-reaching effect, an effect of sin caused by physical nakedness and caused by spiritual nakedness. After the judgment of God had drowned the people of this world in a flood of water because of their sin, life began again, starting with eight people. Eight people whom God had spared, rescuing them by placing them in an ark. And while a man named Noah was in that ark, he not only brought his family with him, he not only brought all of those animals with him, but he also brought his sin with him. In fact, all of those people in that ark were sinners. Sinners who had been saved by the grace of God. Their sin did not drown in the flood. It was there in the ark. It was there in their minds. It was in their hearts. And as they emerged from that ark, the devastating effect of sin was all around them. And I wonder if they wondered whether they could keep their sin under control in order to avoid another catastrophic disaster like the flood. They didn't have to wait long to find out the answer to that question, did they? So now it says in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 9, the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And though each of those sons had children of their own, sons and daughters of their own. We are only told about one child. We are only told about one son. And so it says that Ham was the father of Canaan, who would be his youngest son. And why is Canaan the only child that is mentioned here? It is because that some 900 years later, when the children of Israel were to go into the promised land, a land which was called the land of Canaan, a land which was inhabited by the descendants of Canaan, a land that was inhabited by a wicked, godless people called the Canaanites, a people which cursed God and which were cursed by God, we find here the beginning. We find the beginning of that curse, the curse upon the godless men and women of this world. And these three, it says, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were the sons of Noah. And from these three, the whole earth was populated. Naphath in Hebrew. Life was dispersed throughout the entire earth through these three men. We are all descendants of Adam. We are all descendants of Noah. And we are all descendants of the sons of Noah. We are all really one big extended family. Then we're told in verse 20, in order to eat, in order to feed his family, Noah began farming. Edamah in Hebrew. He began to cultivate the soil, just like Adam did after he was driven out of the Garden of Eden because of his sin. And so Noah worked the land from sun up until sun down by the sweat of his face. And among the crops that he planted, we are told he planted a vineyard, shatha in Hebrew. He grew grapes. And as some of those grapes fermented, the juice of those grapes became a strong drink. And we're told that Noah drank of the wine of those grapes. And in his weakness, and in his imperfection, showing no self-control, showing no discernment, we're told he became drunk. And he uncovered himself inside of his tent. Galah in Hebrew. He embarrassed himself. He had no sense of decency. He had no sense of modesty. He was naked. And though there has been much speculation and much discussion about what was going on in that tent, beyond being drunk, beyond being naked, and beyond being asleep, we really do not have any answers. But apparently what we do have is enough. Because we're told in verse 22 that his youngest son, named Ham, the father of his youngest son, named Canaan, went into the tent of his father. And he saw the nakedness of his father, Ervach in Hebrew. He saw his indecency. And he apparently had no respect for his father. Apparently he had no real love for his father. Because he did not want to cover the sin of his father. What did he do? He went out of the tent and he told his brothers all about it as they were outside of the tent. He told them what he had seen. So we are told in verse 23 that Shem and Yefesh took a garment, simlash. In Hebrew, they took a cloak and they laid that cloak upon their shoulders and they walked backwards into the tent and they covered the nakedness of their father. And it says their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. They made a great effort, didn't they? They had an appropriate sense of what was right and what was wrong. And so they rebuked their brother Ham by their actions. They rebuked him by their godly behavior. They rebuked him without saying a word. And sometimes we know that it is true that our example becomes the most effective and powerful rebuke of all, doesn't it? They did not want to look upon the sin of their father. Unlike Ham, they did not want to glory in it. And then it says in verse 24, when Noah awoke from the drunkenness of his wine. And he knew what his youngest son had done to him. How he had shown disrespect towards his father. How he had spread his disgrace among his brothers. Like the enemy of our souls, Ham exposed the sin of his father for all to see. So then Noah spoke a word of prophecy. And in verse 25, he said to Ham, cursed will be your son Canaan, and cursed will be the people whom will descend from him. You may ask, why didn't he curse Ham? He couldn't. Even in prophecy, he could not curse Ham. Why? How did Ham get into the ark? Because he was the son of Noah? No. Because he was a believer. Believers are not under the curse. Believers are not under the judgment of God. We may be disciplined. We may be chastened. But we are not cursed. And so, Noah says in verse 25, he will be a servant of servants, Evath in Hebrew. He will be the lowest of the low. He will be a slave. He shall be to his brothers a slave, the Canaanites. Shall be slaves to the people of God. That's what we're being told here. But, Noah said, verse 26, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, from whom the Messiah would come. And let the descendants of Canaan be the servants of Shem. And may God also enlarge and bless Yefeth as well, and let his descendants dwell in the tents of Shem in peace, in harmony, in unity, just as we who belong to Christ are to be one in him. And let the descendants of Canaan be his servants as well. And it says in verse 28, Noah lived another 350 years after the flood. And he saw the wickedness of man begin to multiply upon the earth. He even lived long enough to see the Tower of Babel as God scattered the people across the earth in confusion because of their sin and wickedness. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The same kind of wickedness that was on the earth before the flood. Things had not changed very much, just as they have not changed very much today. So all the days of Noah, we're told, were 950 years. A long time. But like all of us, sooner or later, says in verse 29, he died. Sin and death had survived the flood. Because we are told in Jeremiah chapter 17, above all else, the heart of man is deceitful. So do not trust in the lies of men. Do not trust in yourself, because we only tell ourselves what we want to hear. Do not trust in your experiences to determine your direction and your beliefs. For all of us, we are told in Jeremiah, are incurably sick, and we are all morally wicked. All of us are confused, and no one can make any sense of this life apart from God. And here is the naked truth. It is only the word of God that can reveal the truth to us. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.